Thank you. Good way to start the morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship today. Oh, I'm not used to seeing the Hasses sit on this side. Yeah. Let's take and greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, introduce yourselves, okay? A couple of announcements. Don't forget the 4th of July parade out at Glen. If you want a little bit of Americana, 10:30 out at Glen Corners. Golf tomorrow. What else is there? Oh, next weekend we've got the special music program, John Cozio, Libby Turner. Libby Turner is the lead singer for Sounds of Blackness. Those of you who do computers, go on and look up Sounds of Blackness or Libby Turner. Holy smokes! I mean, Grammy Awards and businesses and coaching all these groups. And I don't usually do computers, but I thought I'd better check up to see what kind of characters we're getting into church. It's pretty special. So if you're around next weekend, make sure 5 o'clock on Saturday evening and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I think the rest of the announcements you can be responsible for. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, thank you for a beautiful morning. Thank you for your presence in our lives. This morning as we gather each from the busyness of the day to say our prayers and to hear your word, sing these hymns, we pray that your spirit might come alive in us and that might stir in us, that we might draw closer to you and that we might give our lives to you, to live for you. So send your spirit this morning, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Be Thou My Vision, 793. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess before God and those present our sins against God and others. Have mercy upon us, O God, for having abused using it so often to ask for things for ourselves and not using it to express our gratitude. Forgive us for being selfish and forgetting to pray for those in need of healing. Pardon us wherein we are carrying larger burdens than necessary because we have relied upon our own weak strength instead of seeking your power through fear. Forgive us, renew us, in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Holy Spirit strengthen and lead us as we live our lives. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Living God, today we pray for our brothers and sisters who are in need of your healing, whether it be of body, mind, or spirit. Grant comfort and suffering to all who are in need of healing. When they are afraid, give them courage. When afflicted, give them patience. When dejected, give them hope. And when alone, assure them of the support of their brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask this through our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The first reading today is from Galatians 5th chapter. For Paul, the freedom of Christ gives not permission to do whatever we want. It is the invitation to be what we could be and could not be otherwise. The power and guidance of Christ's Holy Spirit produce a different kind of life, one marked by the fruit of this Holy Spirit. For freedom in Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by each other. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. The psalm today is Psalm 16. Please read the bold print, and at the bold R, the refrain, "I have set the Lord always before me." Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my God, my good above all other."
All my life is in the valley that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips.
I have set the Lord always before me. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
I have set the Lord always before me. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forever. I have set the Lord always before me. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 9th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 51st verse. Jesus is unwavering in his commitment to his mission in Jerusalem and will not be swayed by pettiness. In a series of striking cases in point, he calls his disciples to a similar single-mindedness. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 697, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Heard a story the other day. A woman stopped into one of the garage sales and she picked up a number of items. And as she was checking out, she said to the gal who was taking the money hosting the garage sale, "Boy, I think my husband's going to be angry with me today." And the woman who was taking the money said, "Well, I'm sure he'll understand. You've got so many good bargains here that it's not going to be a problem." She said, "Normally, that's true, but my husband just broke his leg and he wanted me to bring her to the hospital to have it set." Did you get it that time? Some things can't be delayed in life, but we do delay them. There's nothing any sinister about it, but because we don't attach any real urgency to them, sometimes they just get pushed to the side. Have you heard of the butt-first system or syndrome? The Medical Association Society hasn't recognized the butt-first syndrome as a disease yet, but that doesn't mean that many people aren't suffering from some of the symptoms. Let me share with you what the butt-first syndrome is all about. I decided to wash the kitchen floor the other day, and then as I was heading to the door to get the bucket and the mop, I saw the newspaper on the table, and there was an article that I needed to read out of that newspaper, so I sat down, and when I folded the paper to put it in the recycling thing there, I saw some mail on the table, and then I thought, oh yeah, there's that bill I got to mail, so then I went to look for my checkbook, and as I was looking for the checkbook, I noticed there was a glass of water that was sitting on the coffee table, so I took the glass over to the kitchen before I got my checkbook, and I looked out the window and saw that there were all these, the flowers were dying because they didn't have enough water. They're underneath the eave. Because they were there, I thought, well, I better head out. But then I saw the TV remote and the portable phone sitting over there, and I thought, well, we better put that phone in to get it charged. Long story short, I didn't get much done that day. I got the floor washed. I didn't get the newspapers to the recycling. The glass is now in the sink. The bills never got paid. I never did find the checkbook, and the dog ate the remote control. But first syndrome. Got to get this done, but first I've got to do this and this and this. I think that's what Jesus is finding in our gospel lesson today. He's walking down the road. He encounters three men. First man says to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. And we've all probably felt like that someday in life. We have a mountaintop experience. Our prayers are answered, or we go to some crusade, or you see something moves you to say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. And then as time goes by, the truth of the matter is we've lived pretty ordinary lives since then. There have been plenty of instances where we could have served Christ in a better way. We could have done better with our time and with our lives, but somehow other things get in the way. You know, recently I read that only 2-4% of the people that went to the Billy Graham Crusades ever had their lives changed. I mean, Billy Graham would pack 100,000 in a stadium. People would go forward, give their lives to God as they played Just As I Am on the, you know, in their orchestra. But only 2-4% actively changed to live a Christian life. That's not to say that Billy Graham didn't do great things and didn't move people's lives and change lives. There are people who have been touched in beautiful ways, but for most of those who went forward, it didn't last. The point is, in some situations, we might say, yeah, Lord, I'm yours. I'll give my life to you. I'll do anything you want. We get caught up in the moment. And this is obvious the way it was for that first man that Jesus meant. I'll follow you wherever you go. And look at Jesus' response. Did you notice that? I always wondered what these responses were. Jesus says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus seems to be saying in a gentle way, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're getting into. Following me is not for the gentle of heart. It's not for people who are concerned with material possessions or comforts. It's for people who are ready to put their lives on the line. That's what following Jesus is about. It's not about people who get excited on one occasion and respond for an hour to a nice, warm, spiritual feeling. It's for people who are ready to be Christ's man or Christ's woman, regardless of their current circumstances. Or how they happen to be feeling at the moment. Foxes have dens, birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It's going to be tough if you're going to be a follower. Now, look at the second man, Jesus' response to him. Jesus says, follow me. And the man says, well, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus, here's a man who's got the but first syndrome. But first, let me go bury my father. We wonder what the man's talking about. I mean, if his father died, you've got to be at the funeral. Especially in Jesus' day, they didn't have a funeral 3 or 4 or 2 weeks later. I had a funeral yesterday, 2 weeks after the person died. That's not the way they did it in the first century. They buried their men, their women, almost immediately. And what's this guy doing walking on the road talking to Jesus then? Lord, first let me go and bury my father, the guy says. And Jesus' answer is a little harsh. He says, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What's that all about? Jesus is a little harsh here. When I had a chance to study in the Mideast, when there's a different understanding of life and God and nuance here, that meant that my father is old. I've got to go and take care of him and be with him until he dies. It might have been 2 or 3 years. It might have been 5 or 6 years. But I've got to take care of my father. Some of you can identify with that. Your parents, too, are aging. You feel responsible for them. So as long as my mom and dad are alive and they depend on me, I'm going to stay home. And you can understand that, and I can, too. Third man Jesus runs into makes a request that's reasonable. I'll follow you, Jesus, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. Hey, these are nice guys. These are good guys. These are guys just like you and me. They want to follow Jesus. They've got responsibilities. We can all understand that. And so they say to Jesus, yeah, but first, huh? Jesus is just as short with this third guy as he was with the others. He says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus regards the statement of the first man that he would follow him anywhere as superficial. And the second two, he thinks that they're just offering excuses to keep from following him. He didn't need any half-hearted disciples. Jesus didn't. He wanted people who were ready to make a commitment and give their lives and follow him. He isn't looking for fans. Jesus isn't. He's looking for followers. Fans are easy to come by. Jesus had a lot of fans. Show the world that you're a winner, and as the world defines a winner, and the world will follow you, regale you. You guys on the way home will turn on CCO, listen to Sid Hartman. You'll hear Sid Hartman say, win, baby, win, and you'll have all the fans in the world. Twins play. They start stinking the place up. Forget it. I'm not going to even listen to them. Or a Skip would say, I got stuck with season tickets. Man was telling me about his father. This was back, must have been when Les Steckel was the coach of the Vikings. He said his father was a diehard Vikings fan. But they lost, and they lost, and they lost. And he would get angry, and he would throw. They had a brick or something, some kind of soft, cushiony thing. He'd throw it, and he'd stomp up and down. And finally, one day, he was watching the Vikings get beat again. And all of a sudden, it went quiet in there. His wife poked her nose in to see what was happening, see if he had a heart attack. And there he was sitting watching a World War II movie. How come you're watching that? He says, I wanted to watch someone who I knew would win. Jesus doesn't want more fans. He doesn't need fans. Fans are with you, win or tie. But when things start turning different, they leave you. Jesus wants people who will walk in his footsteps daily, regardless of their circumstances. Jesus wants people who will be with him whether he ascends to the throne or whether he's hanging on the cross. Jesus wants that kind of commitment. Jesus wants people who will mirror his compassion and love, even when that love and compassion are unpopular. When we read the accounts of Jesus' life in the gospel about him giving this command on many occasions, follow me, and he did it a lot. Remember, he went to the fishermen first, Peter and James and Andrew and John, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, and they did. Remember the rich young ruler, he asked, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus says, what are the commandments? Love God before all else, and love your neighbors as yourself. Jesus says, yes, you're right. Now, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And the man hung his head and walked away. We read about all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus says in each one of those, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus needs followers, not half-hearted people. He doesn't want fans. Jesus wants people who will do more than just simply sit in the pew and clap and cheer. He wants people who will take up the cross daily, a cross of service and a cross of love. Some of you may know a man named Rich Stearns. When Stearns was a young man, fell in love, was engaged. His wife signed up, you know how you do at department stores for wedding gifts? She had signed up at the local department store for china and crystal and silver, And he said, he'd become a Christian. He said, you know what, as long as there's starving children in the world, we don't have to have all this fancy stuff. So he didn't do it. Well, he got active in his business, found out he had a head for business. 20 years later, he's the CEO of a group called Lennox. And most of you ladies know that Lennox is a group that makes fine china and silverware and crystalware and things like that. Well, one day Rich got a call from an organization called World Vision International asking if he would consider getting involved with them. He said, yeah, he would. They sent him on a trip to Uganda, the same place where Pastor Nelson Lufafa shared with us a couple of weeks ago. In that village, he sat in a thatched hut one afternoon with a 13-year-old boy, and as he looked out the hut, he could see a mound of rocks. That's where this 13-year-old boy, Dad, had been buried a few weeks before, died of the AIDS epidemic. And then just next to that pile of stones marked another burial place of his mother, this 13-year-old Richard, who had also died of AIDS. I mean, that kind of thing happens every day in Uganda, in Africa. I mean, it's ground zero for the AIDS pandemic. Well, Rich talked to this young man, Richard, who was now the head of the household, taking care of his two younger brothers. And he asked him at one point, do you have a Bible here? And the boy smiled and said, yes. And he went into the other room and got the only book in the house, the Bible. And he says, Rich asked, are you able to read it? And the young boy turned it and it flipped right open to the Gospel of John. He says, I love the Gospel of John. Why is that, Richard? Because it's a place where Jesus tells me that he loves little children. Suddenly, Rich Stearns knew what he had to do. He needed to follow Jesus full time. And he left his job and he left his house and he left his title. And today he's working in Africa for God. Rich Stearns is the kind of man that Jesus is looking for. Christ isn't looking for people who get excited for a few moments on a Sunday morning, who are suffering from the butt first syndrome and intentions, good intentions. He's looking for people who are continually wanting to serve him, who will wake up in the morning and say, what do you want me to do today, Lord? Where can I see your spirit at working? How can I help you? He's looking for followers, people who will actively follow him. So the question that I would like you to think about this week is, can he count on you? Can he count on you? Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join and give me singing hymn 770, Give Me Jesus.
Give me Jesus, you may have all the rest. Give me Jesus. about the break of day, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all the rest, give me Jesus. Then when I come to die, oh, give me Jesus. You may have all the rest. Give me Jesus. When I want to
please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer. Let us join in praying together. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for the daily blessings of life. May these gifts bring hope and healing to a world in need. You know, I think I'll have you be seated. We're going to take a time for prayer and healing. Patty, would you come up here, please? Patty Honnold is our parish nurse. We haven't done this for a while, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about it. Patty, why do we do this service of healing?
First of all, there are three of us, just not to... Darlene Christensen and also Kathy Berlin.
Okay.
Each of us has a commitment to try to help the struggles that we go through every day. Some of us need healing for ourselves. Some of us need healing for those we love. Some of us have just agony over what's going on in our world and don't know what to do about it. And all of those things can help us when we ask for God's support in helping heal us, our families, our children, our animals, and our world. And so that's really why. Gives us a chance to focus, and at the end we'll sing a hymn called Listen to Your Children of Francie. And I think that is really an important opportunity for us at this healing service, is to really pray for what it is that we feel we need some healing about, and then help God remember that we need assistance.
So today we're going to invite, why don't you take and light that candle? Invite people, if they've got a prayer request, they could write it on that little blue piece of paper and put it in the basket. If they'd like to light a candle symbolizing the light of God that comes in, we'll take one of these sticks and if you've got a prayer request, to send up. That's the symbolism behind that. And also, even if you're grateful. Oh, that would be good. And the other thing is, you've got healing ointment. Is that frankincense you brought?
Frankincense.
Okay. And you, what do we use the ointment for?
Oil sort of based fragrance that was used both for healing wounds.
So you'll be at that side. Kathy, are you going to be over there? Okay, you can be on that side. If you have prayers, want to write, put them in the basket, need to light a candle.
And we actually don't read those prayers. We bless them, and they get heard. So if you want something private on there, we aren't going to necessarily read that.
It's between God and you. Yeah. So let us turn to the bulletin, page 4. Halfway down it says, leader. So let us pray. Teach us, O God, how to walk in paths of wholeness and hope.
Help us to care for those among us who are sick, and challenge those who are well to embrace.
Let those who are lonely or sorrowing be comforted and called back into community. Let those who are facing illness of body be encouraged and assisted as they seek to recover or be released from their pain.
Let those who are healthy celebrate with joy.
Let those of us who are able honor your creation through thankful enjoyment of nutritious food, clean air and water, and vigorous exercise. Help us to be a healthy and healing congregation, O God, a place where all are free to live fully in body, mind, and spirit. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. So at this time, you are invited to come forward to receive a blessing, the sign of the cross, and oil on your hand, or to strengthen you in your faith walk. You can also light a candle as you say a prayer. If you have a special prayer request, you can record it on the paper, place it in the basket. This will be offered up to God. Let's take a moment and say some prayers and come forward if you feel so moved to leave a prayer. If you'd like to pray, play some meditative music, that would be appreciated. Let's join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you with every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
May the God of faithfulness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the Lord walk beside you to comfort you. May the Lord walk above you to watch over you. May the Lord walk behind you to keep you safe. May the Lord walk before you to show you the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise and join in our closing hymn, 752, Lord, listen to your children praying.